It's another edition of the Shooting USA podcast. Once again, from the Tier 1 Media offices in Cool Springs, Tennessee, Mike Irvine is joining me again after fantastic popular response from last week.
That's wonderful to hear.
Mike, welcome.
And it's wonderful to be back. Two shows in a row. I like the precedent that we're setting right now, buddy.
Well, you know, it's all about filling the airwaves and staying in touch with the people. This is the real-time way for us to be in touch with our audience. You know, the shows, they go through a process, and even when we turn them around as fast as possible, there's still, you know, 4 to 6 weeks turnaround time, and in many cases, and in most cases, much more than that. But that gets me into our first topic, and that's last night's shows.
That's right. Yankee Cup coverage last night.
It was
big
a
episode for Shooting USA.
Debut episode coverage of the 2013 Yankee Cup. It's been raved on around here as the most exciting coverage of the Yankee Cup we've done.
And it, you know, and it lends itself to the fact that the Yankee Cup is one of the more exciting television matches. It allows itself in the four-stage format for us and our cameras to see it, something that we quite honestly have a lock on when it comes to cameras bringing you the actual action from that match. And last night's show was a good one. Probably the best Yankee coverage in the 7 years I've been working with you guys.
I would agree. It was kind of a skeleton crew compared to what we have taken to Columbia, Missouri before.
Correct.
Or in the past, I should say. But we were very effective this year. And there were some monumental achievements. Enoch Smith with his production gun finally breaking 1900 and leaving that plate. Could have been a 1914. He walks away with a 1904, which is a new record by a long, long distance for the production division.
1900 was the mark set when they broke this production division, which, you know, we're talking the polymer guns.
Right.
Smith & Wesson M&Ps, Enoch Shot, a Springfield XD.
That's right.
When they created this division, 1900 was the benchmark that nobody thought they could get past with the limits of a production gun and the heavy triggers and the polymer frames.
Right.
It just wasn't thought. And he not only did it commandingly, and if I remember right, cleaned the mover.
He did.
480 points on the mover.
He did. And, you know, we got that shot-for-shot coverage in the show from last night. But what a performance. You know, and then his teammate, Robert Vadaz, claiming another Metallic Division win, but making this one memorable by actually cleaning the barricades.
Which was a first for him.
Yeah.
Correct, correct. And for people who don't know, when we say teammate, Enoch and Robert are not professional shooters. These guys are Border Patrol agents.
Exactly.
They are full-time working the southern border of the U.S., and they are incredible, accomplished shooters with full-time jobs.
Right. And Robert Vadaz is poised right now to venture to New Mexico in the Whittington Center to pursue a record, I don't know how many, PPC national titles.
Yeah, which is the police match, which is all about cops competing against other cops. And it's, if I'm correct, John, it's an accuracy-based event.
Right, police pistol championship. Some of the elements that exist in the Yankee Cup exist there also. But it is very much its own match. And in his fashion, he dominates there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's we're talking Metallic Division with Robert, which is guns with a little bit of upgrade with no optics. You know what Enoch did with his production gun. But then in the Open Division, if you didn't catch last night's show, you should watch it because the man did it again. Once again, Doug Koenig, the guy's just unstoppable at this.
Absolutely unbelievable. And when you see his shots on the mover target, which we bring you with a dedicated second camera tight as the target moves back and forth in front of him, it's almost as though he's on a different plane. It's a different level. It is such high accuracy that it's almost unbelievable.
Well, and we say it all the time, is an X is an X. If you hit the center of the target, even if you're on the far left or left edge of the center target, it's still an X. But Doug's X's are in the center of the center. He's punching holes in the black. And I will tell you, watch his plates. And when he's done with all those plates, there's just one pounded out center gone. He is consistently drilling the center of these targets. So even in comparable scores, even in these other guys who are going to the mover clean, there's a distinction between the way Doug shoots this and the way everybody else does.
Well, it goes back to something that Doug had spoken to us about on the show years prior. When he shoots the plates, his first strings on those freshly painted plates become his target.
Yes, he shoots he's going a center for the bullet hit.
And then he repeats that center hit as he moves back. And it's just part of the mental preparation that he does and that he employs there. And it has led to unprecedented success.
Mm-hmm. And unprecedented coverage last night's show of the Mover event, because there were a handful of guys who were clean. And when we say clean, we're talking a perfect score. They had scored at least all 10s. Mm-hmm. In shooting this, a handful of them on the same day with Doug all in a row shooting the Mover, but it didn't go so well for these other guys.
Right.
A lot of drama in last night's episode.
Right. Well, and congratulations needs to be mentioned for Kyle Bernoski.
Yes.
Cleaning the match for his first time, shooting his way to the Mover with a chance to shoot a 480 there, and then finally doing it for the first time in all the years that he's been competing. So big accomplishment for Carl. Yeah. Good show.
Very
good show
good.
Last
Very
night.
Good. Yep.
Impossible shots last night.
Yeah, we had a really good one last night with Jerry Michlick, mm-hmm. Smith & Wesson Pro, doing a reloading drill with an M&P Shield.
Right.
Not exactly a gun built for fast reloading, but he did it in the competition style. Beat the clock. Targets that were moving, reload it, shoot a full magazine, reload it, shoot another full magazine before the clock runs out. I was unbelievably impressed with Jerry's ability to manipulate a gun that, you know, I mean, he's Popeye with his hands and forearms, a gun that's the size of his hand.
Right. Well, I remember the first time I happened to be there, and you did as well, the first time that Jerry picked up a Shield. It was one of the pre-production prototypes, and we were doing some shooting at the Smith & Wesson Employee Shooting Sports Center, and his hands literally dwarfed the thing.
Yes.
And we did actually a shot of his hand with the gun laid in his hand, and it is much smaller physically than his hand.
Yep.
But he could run that gun just as fast as anything else, and obviously give him a little time to practice with it, and he'll be making impossible shots with it.
Do you remember what Jerry did that day on the testing floor? Do you remember the first thing he did? We're up there at Smith & Wesson. We were lucky enough to be the first television production crew to look at the first prototype of a Shield.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry and Julie Golub are there to shoot it in front of us. Jerry gets one in his hands for the first time amongst Smith & Wesson engineers and people and takes the whole thing apart.
Right.
Because he's got to know how it works and why the trigger feels as good as it does. And then throws it back together and just starts shooting. And it was just one of those funny behind-the-scenes moments that you never get to see. But that's Jerry. That's what Jerry does.
Well, he wanted to know how are they similar and how are they different from the actual full-size M&P. And, you know, he's got a lot of experience in that gun. And, you know, here's the first opportunity to take the thing apart and see the insides. But I remember distinctly him doing full magazine dumps into a target at 7 and then at 10 yards and then doing two-in-one drills and things like that, just lightning quick.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic stuff.
You know, I've got another Impossible Shot show coming up this fall that the Shield is used.
Mm.
And this time it's Julie Golub. Accuracy shooting, standing, offhand, I won't give anything away, but our targets go farther than a football field.
Wow.
And she's going to do this shooting offhand, no support, no prone, no nothing, standing up with a Shield. And this is a real cool one. It's every bit as on par with difficulty as Jerry's. This one just distance accuracy based.
No, you shouldn't be able to make shots like
no,
that
you
with
shouldn't.
A little gun. But you know, the original long shot pocket gun guy was the late Bob Munden.
Mr. Munden, yes, that's true. And Bob was doing shots at 200 yards with a Derringer.
Right.
So if you're in that mold, it can be done. Actually, we paid tribute to Bob on Impossible Shots last night.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Otker, our compound bow shooter, did Bob's Spin the Coin.
Right.
With his compound bow, and he specifically did it because he idolized Bob, and when Bob passed away, he wanted to recreate some of the shots. Bob did it with a 1911,
mm-hmm.
if I remember right, 45
ACP. Yeah, he did.
And Randy doing it with a bow was a lot. It created a unique challenge for him because of the archer's paradox and the arrow flexing mm-hmm. in the air and flight, and just the length of the arrow having more opportunities to graze the coin. So good
right.
stuff last night.
Well, speaking of Randy, we were expecting him here in town for production, but that has shifted, and we're pushing that a week. We're expecting him next week.
He'll be here next week. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week, mm-hmm. we'll be doing more Impossible Shots with Randy. Life on the farm got Randy.
Well,
when trucks and tractors break down and you live on a cattle farm, you've got to do
work. That's
so
what happens.
He'll be down here once everything's fixed.
I give the guy credit for making sure things at home are right. That's good.
That's right. That's, hey, you got to take it.
And in his typical fashion, I'm sure he hasn't shared anything that he has planned. He's just going to call you and tell you, hey, push me a week, but I still won't tell you what we're doing.
That's a typical Randy. Randy likes, even working in television production, to keep the element of surprise that he has in his live shows. And when we are filming, and this comes out in the shows, I don't know what Randy's going to do shot to shot. Even in the middle of what we're doing, when you see the, as we call them, warm-up shots,
right.
which is shoot, then make it a little harder, shoot it again, and then go for the impossible.
Right.
I don't know what shot 1 to 2 to 3 is going to be until we're in the middle of doing it, which as a producer is a nightmare.
Yeah, you're very calm in describing this right now because it's given me some serious anxiety.
As a producer-director, it's a nightmare. As a host and fan of shooting, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
so
no doubt.
It's his style. It's what he does, and after 5 years together, Randy's proven his abilities enough to have that leeway. So we'll see what the kid has when he shows up.
Well, we're sitting on a short week this week, but I've got production tomorrow. We're in the studio to put what we call the wraps or the host sections on a show that is headlined by an exclusive tour of the ISS Weapons Armory inside ISS Prop House out in Valencia, California. It was a tour that took about a year to set up with the help of Taryn Butler. Basically to look at famous guns from movies. And this place is one of the biggest, and we found some really, really fun stuff.
And some pretty tricky-looking stuff. I mean, you guys got into some sci-fi movies
and
things like that. Can we get a little teaser? What are we going to look at?
There's a Remington ACR that was converted for the movie Oblivion, which is just out of theaters, Tom Cruise film. And then there were a number of guns that were built actually at Weta, which is in New Zealand, for the movie Avatar. And then when Avatar's production moved back stateside, the guns couldn't come back from New Zealand, but the housings did. And ISS took guns out of their inventory and modified them to work with these housings for the reshoots and the different things that ended that gigantic production. So we got to see some of that stuff, which is otherwise unseen.
Yeah. And what does this stuff look like in person? I mean, I can picture the guns from Avatar, and they don't look like anything.
Well, I bounced a couple of pictures out there on my Instagram account when Taryn and I were there. And, of course, Taryn and I, being the fanboys, were taking pictures of each other holding different guns from different movies that meant something or another to each of us. And to me, Avatar is one of those big ones. And so I was holding one of the Door Gunner guns, and it's built on a transferable M60 that ISS has. And it has all of the housings and everything. And one point that Taryn makes in this, because he's worked closely with James Cameron, the director, on a number of different projects. James Cameron is a gun guy. And so in this instance, he's creating sci-fi or futuristic guns, but he's creating them with an eye and an element of something that could actually function. So many of them had magazines or different types of magazine covers that would cover the actual guns magazine that's functioning inside this Hollywood dress-up, but it actually looks like something that could be a detachable magazine, something that could function.
Wow.
Same case with different optics. There was the gun that the colonel shot in that it's built over a revolver, and it turns out it's a Taurus revolver of some description, but it has all of this applique on it and this big pseudo-optic thing on the top of it. And, man, it's just, it was really neat to have that connection between this movie, this huge blockbuster movie, and then actually get to hold and handle some of the stuff that really played a big part in it.
And you've got a whole list. I mean, you looked at like 10 guns from 10 different movies.
Oh, yeah. It went all the way.
This show is a big list of movie guns.
You bet. And this is the show that I took down my award for writing a 9-minute and 30-second segment.
All-timer.
Now, all truth be told, that shouldn't actually be an award. There should be an award for the longest segment that actually makes it into a show. And in this case, that segment got chopped into a couple of pieces and comes in right around 7 minutes, which is still pretty big for our show, but the 930 award, it has an asterisk next to it. But, I mean, we went all the way back to the harpoon gun from Jaws, you know, that they built for that movie. We looked at some guns from Terminator 3. We looked at stuff that was seen even in Pirates of the Caribbean, guns like that. It was really fun. We had a good time.
Nice. And, and a rare look. I mean, this is a rare treat. You don't normally, at any point, any place, get to see, and in your case, get to handle these guns.
Well, no other television had been inside this place before. And I can't really speak to how many print publications may or may not have been in there. I read something specifically about the Remington ACR that was done up for Oblivion. I read that just here recently. So there has been access, but this is the first time you're going to see it in television.
And that's very cool.
It's exciting stuff. It's fun.
That'll be good. And this will come this fall, Shooting USA.
Yeah,
right?
Putting the wraps on that, and then
like
it'll get delivered
earlier
to the show. Probably look for that sometime, probably before Halloween, but mid-October is probably a good estimate at this point.
Very good.
Yeah, fun stuff. So, next week's shows that are actually ready to be watched a week from last night.
Week from last night.
Shooting USA, we're running the All-Army Championship.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it is. It's a fun show. Individual and team event down there shot at Fort Benning, Georgia. When I say down there, I mean Fort Benning. And shot with issue-grade pistols and rifles. And you really get to meet some characters in this one.
And these are real soldiers. I mean, these are the guys whose boots are in the mud every day. You're going to meet some guys who have done several tours, and they are competing against their fellow soldier with the firearms they're issued. And I use the word fun. I don't know that you would think initially hearing that it's fun, but you hit on it with the personalities.
Right.
These guys and girls that you're going to meet who are our armed service men and women.
Yeah, active duty.
Active duty. They are just great to talk to with some amazing stories and a great outlook on life and competition, and it really comes out in the piece. So it's a good one to watch.
Yeah, we do we got a story inside the Performance Center on their 1911 offerings. Did you produce
that? I wrote that, actually. Yes, yeah, I produced that. That's me. That is the new Performance Center 1911s, the 45s, that they launched at SHOT Show of this year, and it's a look on how the Performance Center gunsmiths at Smith & Wesson put those guns together in the time that they take in the process and hand lapping, slide to frame, things like that. Look inside the Performance Center, which is very cool, and they are very, very impressive guns once they're finished.
Yes, sir.
You get handling them. Good stuff out of Smith & Wesson on that one. That was a fun story to write.
Yes, sir. And then I've got a pro tip that I produced back at Fort Benning again with the U.S. Army Marksman Unit and Sergeant Daniel Horner and his partner from the Precision Rifle World and from 3-Gun. I think he's a sergeant now. He's either a sergeant. Yeah, I think he's a sergeant. Tyler Payne. They do a natural vegetation camo and how it can help you as a hunter. Mm-hmm. Pretty interesting piece. And one interesting piece at the end, we did a final shot because typically in a pro tip, you want to shoot. You want to see
shoot
some
your way
shooting.
Out the door. Yep.
And in this particular pro tip, there wasn't an awful lot. In fact, there was basically zero shooting right up until the end. And so we decided and we created with their help, with Daniel and Tyler's help, to create kind of an ending bit where he does that sign-off line, you know, stay Army strong, we'll see you next time kind of thing. And then Tyler is hidden in a blind that he's built throughout the course of this pro tip, and he takes a shot with their, you know, with their precision rifle that they had actually just been using in the International Sniper Comp. And it ended in such a way, I mean, it was very safe. Everything was safe and everything was positioned properly. But it ended in such a way that the angle by camera's eye looked like he could have been shooting right over Daniel's leg or right near Daniel's leg. And so that drew some comment. But
it's an interesting thing that happens when you're shooting video of an event. When you're there, you see it for what it is.
Right.
But you always have to keep an eye and a mind for how does this translate across the video screen. Because I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, John was there with the crew and produced it. I saw the video after the fact and did a little,
What just happened? Whoa, what did I just see?
Part of it has to do with the fact that you cannot see Tyler Payne in the picture.
Right.
You have no idea that there is a guy in this screen, on screen, because he's so vegged out.
Well, that's the thing. The
suit he builds is incredible.
You don't get a frame of reference for where he is because of his ghillie and because of the blind that's built up over the rifle. But, you know, Daniel took this one to heart because this was one that he created, and it's around something that he and Tyler are very, very passionate about, and that's, you know, precision rifle competition, sniper competition, and especially the stalking. And it's something that they're very good at. And, you know, he's always, every time I see him, any more feedback on that? Any more reaction on that? And like, yeah, well, you know, some people are kind of worried about that last shot. And he's like, well, you know, we're better than 10 degrees. You know, it was way better than 10 degrees. Better than 50 degrees. He's beyond the 180. I mean, the muzzle is in a safe position. You just don't have a frame of reference when you see it from the camera's angle and the way that it is covered in the vegetation. So interesting pro tip, though, a handful of rubber bands and whatever the vegetation is where you're going to be hunting, and you can make yourself disappear.
And I think that's it comes across as impressive to this, is that they make this suit with such little asset.
Right.
I mean, when John says a handful of rubber bands, he means a handful of rubber bands.
Right, right.
And this kid disappears.
Yeah, you'll see it in the show.
And I challenge any of you, in, as this piece is winding down, to like a Where's Waldo, find Sergeant Payne.
Well, we do it a number of times.
With good luck.
With different surroundings. We do it a number of times where he changes his suit and he changes the, you know, changes the vegetation that's attached to him to be relevant to where he's going to hide. And it's really cool to watch him disappear and then reappear kind of thing. Yeah. It's fascinating. So,
you know, I actually was asked about from a hunting friend of mine not long ago about how that pro tip really applies. And in my opinion, if you're a turkey hunter, you can't not see this pro tip.
Right.
Now, you know, obviously deer hunting's a little different. I still think it's important, but it's not necessarily as critical. Right. Waterfowl hunting, it's a big deal. But turkey hunting, when you're out by yourself, there's not a blind. Most of us, you know, are going through the woods. This type of camouflage is necessary for you guys. So really pay attention to this.
Well, and the big takeaway is, for me at least, is you can't set something like this up more than 6 hours in advance because the vegetation itself will wilt and will start to droop and die, and that will set you off more. You know, it has to be fresh, like you said. So, Impossible Shots this coming week. Looking at Army Shots is the title of the show.
Yeah, more time at Fort Benning. This is with a different member of the marksmanship unit. This is Sergeant Josh Richmond.
Right.
Josh is a Olympic trap shooter, double trap, world champion to his credit, and he joins our team for the first time. So a little profile on who Josh is and where he comes from. So a chance for everyone to kind of get to know Josh. And then he does a shotgun aerial exhibition shot, one that a lot of guys have done. Josh does it a little differently, though, whether it makes it more impressive, I don't know. But it's a new wrinkle to an old shot, and I like the way Josh does. And I like the fact that Josh, based on his performance, is going to be a regular
Here
on out. I mean, and you'll see it, he carries himself well. You know, he handles himself like you wouldn't expect an Olympian. He knows how to do his craft, and he knows how to shoot. A sidebar in that show that's a fun one is Mr. Flintlock, George Sutton. George is going to pull off an impossible shot with no firearm.
Oh, okay.
And George starts this one off by telling me, I'm out of shot ideas, so we're going to do this. And he's standing there with a tomahawk.
Cool.
What he comes up with for tomahawk throwing is cool. And for frame of reference, I attempted his impossible shot.
Oh, here we go.
And you will see why I was not the quarterback of the football team.
Oh, boy.
It is far harder to throw a tomahawk than I would have ever guessed. And
awesome.
That's all coming next week. Fun stuff. Two vastly different shooters and personalities. They really go together in this show well.
Well, that sounds like a good time. And I remember during the production of the Josh Richmond profile, you were talking about some of the interview that you did with him and how he was very nervous and how you sort of did the old switcheroo with the cameras off but the cameras still on thing, and now we're just talking as buddies.
Yep.
And you got some of the real emotion that he has from being an Olympian, involved
there. Don't think that being an Olympian really matters, if you don't think that these people don't just live, that this is the one thing they live for, then you're just wrong. And it comes out when you hear Josh talk about what it means to be not only just an Olympian, but now what it means looking for an Olympic gold. I mean, Josh will flat out tell you he was disappointed. He did not come out there with a gold medal, come out of those Olympics with a gold medal. And that's his goal, and that's what he lives for. And that's his life. That's what he does every day. And it means everything to him, and it comes across in that piece. It was a great story for me to get to write. It was an amazing interview to get to sit and talk to him and have him tell this story. So just good stuff all around.
Outstanding. Well, that kind of gets me where we're going next, and that's a plug for the Shooting USA TV channel on YouTube.
The YouTube page.
That's right. Shooting USA TV. That's all you got to do. Type that in the little search bar at the top of YouTube and you will find us.
And this is a chance to look at some of the stories and segments of years past.
Right.
As they go off the network, we're now able to put them out so you can see some individual pro tips and segments and stories. I've said pro tips twice because they're that
pro
important.
Pro tips apparently. And pro tips.
From the last couple seasons. Good stuff.
You bet. And as, like you said, once our shows have run their course on the network, we're free to take segments and put them out there on the YouTube channel. And some are very popular. Some get picked up and grow legs and are seen hundreds of thousands of times, like the Bob Munden profile.
Yes,
that's
Bob.
Out there, very popular right now. How to field strip and clean your AR-15. 357,000 views on that because wow. people have picked that up. A lot of people like it, and probably a lot of people don't like it based on some of the feedback. So,
well,
yeah, I
nice
mean, it's an interesting
about,
thing.
The nice thing about YouTube and its instant feedback is that everyone has an opinion, and you get to see it and hear it right then and there. And that's actually a lot of fun because you, everyone who watches the show, we can't immediately converse with their thoughts when they see it. You can right. watch it on YouTube, and you can make a comment right then.
Yeah,
and
you
there.
Get feedback right away.
That's always good stuff.
And I've got a little snippet that that Mike and I have been kicking around that I'm going to be putting out on the YouTube channel here in the next hour or two today. And this goes back to the 2009 SHOT Show coverage in Las Vegas, and this is by far the boldest move in television that I've ever been even close to. And honestly, when you told me you were going to do it, I really wanted to run and hide. I was terrified. This, and I will let you you tell the story. I'm not trying to steal the thunder, but by far the boldest move ever.
So I'm a bit of a prankster.
Right.
And in 2009, the guys who you all will now know as Duck Dynasty.
That's right.
Duck Commander Boys,
right.
Willie, Phil, Jace, the Robertsons,
yep.
had started on Outdoor Channel.
Yep.
And they were doing an autograph signing, so I get the idea. And part of this is, you know, the old man Jim's fault because he gave me the beard.
Well, he egged you on,
to
didn't he?
Crash their autograph party.
Crazy.
In a fake beard, aviators, and a camo hat.
On camera.
And not only to do it, but yes, to do it on camera.
Right.
And it is, why don't you describe the scene?
Well, you
since
got,
I'm there.
Yeah, you got Godwin, you got Willie was not there, but you got Phil Robertson, the Duck Commander, and you got Jace Robertson.
Mm-hmm.
And you got one of their cameramen from their show at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And this actually made their show.
Yeah, they put it on Duck Commander.
I saw their show where this made the bit, and they were like, you know, one thing you get in Vegas, you get imposters, and then they run you.
Yep.
But our cameras have you coming from behind a standee as they're sitting around a table signing autograph posters, and Godwin sees you first and immediately starts
yes,
laughing.
Yes, he sees me walking, and he is, yeah, he's belly Santa Claus
right.
laughing as I come around the corner.
Right, and you get to the table, and it's, you know, from left to right on the screen, it's Godwin, it's Phil, and it's Jace. And you get to the table, and Godwin's still reacting and laughing, and you got some kind of throwaway line, and then you reach out for a handshake,
and they don't
and
come.
Phil and Jace just absolutely leave you hanging.
Uh-huh.
And throughout the entire bit, it looks like Jace is ready to jump over the table and throw you to the ground, man. It's hilarious.
It is good times. Really quite funny. It is good times. And the best part that you don't see from me was that very night, we have what are called the Golden Moose Awards,
right.
which is Outdoor Channel's, essentially the Emmys of Outdoor Channel.
Right.
We all get together, big banquet, awards are handed out, speeches, backslapping. Well, Willie Robertson.
He was hosting that year.
He was hosting that year.
In his white Boss Hog tuxedo.
Yep,
with
comes
the, awesome.
Off the stage before it starts during the little cocktail hour, rolls up to the old man, looks at Jim in the face, and goes, "That was one of your boys who pulled that today, wasn't it?" And Jim starts laughing, and Willie erupts into laughter,
oh, yeah.
comes over to me, and slaps me on the back and says, "You got him good."
Yeah.
And he's laughing, and it was all very, very good fun. And that was that put an extra exclamation on what was a very, very funny moment and something fun to do. And those guys.
You watch the clip and you can see the tension in Jace. I mean, it still makes me uncomfortable. And it was over 4 years ago. It's wild.
I earned a lot of street cred around Shooting USA when I did that year.
Yeah, I was thoroughly impressed, as you know.
And nothing but respect or love for those guys. They have built an incredible empire and have a great thing going. But just a few years ago, 2009. We were all right there together at the, I believe it was at Federal's booth where all this went down. Mm-hmm. We were standing in.
I think they were in Benelli, actually.
Was it Benelli?
Yeah,
okay.
They were right
at Federal
across the aisle.
And we were at Benelli.
That's right.
And
fantastic. Fun stuff. Really,
and
really
that's out there. Go to YouTube. I would love to know what people think of that.
Yeah, that'll be up on YouTube here in the next hour or two. So good times. Good fun. All right, man. There goes another half hour.
Boy, we can kill them quick, can't we, buddy?
That's awesome. Fantastic. Well,
this means I have to go back and work on a new story. So
and,
back to work.
Hey, we'll just keep cranking them out. That's our job.
Very good, John. Always
awesome.
A pleasure, buddy.
Thanks, Mike.
We'll talk to you guys later.